Chapter 10.
I was surprised by my own sense of determination, but I supposed that came with the territory of accepting I was the dreamer, foretold by some mysterious prophecy. There were worse things. I could have the soul of an evil sorcerer linked intrinsically with my own, or be peer-pressured into walking straight into the volcanic depths of Mount Doom. I strengthened my shoulders as we continued our trek across the vibrantly colorful landscape, but we reached the field of tulips a little while later, and it was just as Una said. The petals folded away from the center in distinct lip shapes, and the luscious bloom released a pungent, bad breath-like odor.
Interesting,
I murmured as I bent down to inspect the flowers. They grew in a variety of colors, ranging from a deep velvety purple to a pale orange, and everything in between. The smell wasn't the most pleasant, but then I caught a hint of something minty from a nearby bud. Apparently, some of them had brushed their teeth recently. Una and I walked into the center of the field of tulips before we stopped to spread out our sleeping pad across the ground. Then the two of us sat cross-legged side by side and watched the sun finish its descent toward the western horizon. The rainbow color sky shifted, and the hues slowly changed to darker shades, but then the rays of the sun cut through the air with a final rebellious illumination. Darkness began to creep along the edges of the field, and a short while later, I heard the sounds of insects and frogs echoing across a distance. I could barely make out the sound of running water somewhere nearby, and everything was still and calm.
This is nice. I haven't stopped to smell the tulips in a while. This must be what my boss was talking about when he said he wanted me to relax.
What is a boss?
Una questioned with a curious tilt of her head.
Someone who can tell you what to do. Back in Denver, my boss was pretty much the only person I knew. I just moved to town, so I hadn't made any new friends yet.
Where did you come from, Alex?
Una asked. The catgirl's humongous violet orbs stared into mine, and her curiosity was obvious.
Do you have a family?
I was born in a small Midwestern town,
I informed her, and my smile turned bittersweet. No one's ever heard of it, so I wouldn't expect you to.
I've never even heard of Earth before. What's a Midwestern?
It's an area of land, I said, and I scratched my chin as I tried to think of an example she'd understand.
Like how there's the happy fields and the mushroom forest.
What kind of things grow in the Midwestern?
Una asked as she plucked a minty-smelling tulip and placed it in her shaggy black locks.
Any cuckolds or vagablooms?
You'd say Midwest in that context. And normal plants, I suppose. They'd probably look awfully strange to you, though.
Maybe.
What about you? What's your family like? Did you have a lot of brothers and sisters? Or were you raised by Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya?
That's a lot of questions.
Una teased, and I realized we'd both picked up on some of the others' speech habits.
I was born to a father and a mother, and yes, I had a lot of sisters growing up.
Where are they? How come they're not in Havenwood?
Because of the Dark King.
I'm sorry,
I said, and I reached across the distance between us to squeeze her hand affectionately.
You don't have to talk about it if it hurts too much.
It's all right, Alex,
Una said, as her eyes filled with emotion.
It does hurt, but I am getting stronger and stronger every day, and I found you. You'll defeat the Dark King once and for all, and maybe I will be reunited with my family then.
No wonder Una was so anxious to find the Dreamer and aid in his victory over the ominous King of Darkness.
Are they alive?
I didn't know of a nicer way to ask that question, but I tensed in preparation for tears.
I believe so.
Una nodded, but the expression was rife with sadness.
But I do not know for sure. The last I heard, my father was a prisoner of the Clover Queen, but he wasn't there when I went to save him and the others.
Oh, Una. I sighed in sympathy for the courageous feline hybrid. I had no idea.
Of course not. I hadn't told you yet, had I?
No. But what about your mom? I had to admit I was a little relieved I wouldn't have to face some angry cat dad anytime soon, since I was certain any father wouldn't take kindly to a man claiming his daughter as his mate. Still, I realized I'd eventually have to face Una's father,
but I imagined saving him from the jaws of darkness would make a good first impression. While all the land was starting to grow on me, and I found myself daydreaming about spending my life here with Una as my mate, May's beautiful face often flashed through my mind. I found myself wondering about what the traveling dodo woman had experienced, and I could listen to her sing-song voice for hours without pause. It would be awesome if I could have more than one girl in my life, but in any case, I would be happy to have Una in my life, and in my bed, for the rest of my days. So I suppose I might as well make it official eventually.
"When the Dark King first arrived in all the land,"
Una said in a voice drenched with pain, and I was pulled out of my thoughts.
"His minions swept through every town and village, and they took all of the most beautiful women back to the Dark King. My mother was one of them. My sisters and I were only kittens, and we mewed for her for days straight."
"That's horrible," I said with a sad shake of my head. "What did your father do?"
"What any loving husband would do,"
Una shrugged.
"He drank 6 potions at once, and then he went to confront the terror who'd torn our home asunder."
A shiver of dread shot up my spine, and I shivered in the growing darkness. The air temperature had dropped several degrees while we'd been sitting there, and the sleeveless vest tunic I wore did little to protect my arms from the chill. Then what happened? I had a feeling I knew where the story was going, but I needed to hear it from Una.
"He failed. But the Dark King let him return home."
Una's purple eyes were dark as she relived the bitter memory.
"My father tried, time and time again, but the Dark King only made him look like a fool each and every time. He was withered by the opposition effects, his cravings were out of control, and yet he'd still get up, each day, swearing he'd defeat the Dark King before sunset."
"Didn't he know about the prophecy of the Dreamer's coming? Surely it was well known even then."
"My father didn't care. He was consumed with anger and hatred. No other thoughts entered his head besides how to destroy what had destroyed him. After a while, he grew too weak to even lift a finger against the Dark King, and that is when he fell victim to the Queen of Clovers."
"When did he get captured?" I asked as I began to piece together the entire picture. Una's earnest urgency, her insistence on me saving the entire land, and her childlike innocence all made much more sense to me after hearing about her life.
"During the last full moon,"
Una said, and then her eyes leapt to the sky again.
"Oh, yes, I almost forgot about the bat bees."
The sun was gone from the darkened rainbow sky, but the moon still hadn't risen. I was hesitant to light a torch in case it scared off the very creatures we sought, but it was getting harder and harder to see around the field. Una peered around at the sky, and then she pointed to the eastern horizon.
"Look, Alex, the moon is finally rising,"
Una exclaimed, and she leapt to her feet in a single graceful bound. I stared at the eastern horizon for several moments, but I saw no celestial orb. Perhaps her vision had improved to the point where it surpassed my own, but this thought merely reminded me of the potential for my sperm to be magic, and I shook my head to dispel the slew of questions that the thought brought along with it. "I don't see it. What does the moon in all the land look like?" Before the cat girl could respond, however, the bright, glowing, neon-green sphere rose above the distant tree line, like a tennis ball arching over a net. "What the fuck?" My mouth fell open as I gaped up at the full moon. I couldn't believe I hadn't noticed the green hue of the cosmic circle. All the land was so fucking weird, but it was awesome.
"What's wrong, Alex?"
Una asked with a worried frown. "I have never seen such a strange-looking moon before. Has it always been green?"
"I believe so,"
Una nodded.
"As long as I can remember. What other color would it be?"
"Yellowish-white?" I shrugged. "That's what color the moon is like on Earth, anyway."
"We aren't on Earth, Alex,"
Una pointed out in a patient tone.
"Why would they be the same?"
"You're right. It just caught me by surprise. I take it the bat bees will be coming out soon, too."
"They will bask beneath the light of the moon, yes,"
Una said, and she reached out a hand to pull me to my feet.
"We should be prepared for anything."
"Gotcha." I withdrew my sword and peered around the field of tulips. "What's anything?"
Well,
Una said in a thoughtful voice.
There's the bat bees, a giant roaming the area, and possibly more sniffer snatchers. Of course, nightmares are always a possibility, and we are technically in clover territory, so we could run into a few of them. Which would you prefer, Alex?
Let's just stick with the bat bees if possible. But I wouldn't argue with the sniffer snatcher thief showing up to share the beast's tail with us.
Perhaps if you concentrate, you can make it so. You are the dreamer. But I am not sure what that means. Do you have special powers? Besides being able to heal me with your, you know. Oh, and the potions, of course.
We still aren't sure that's what's happening. We shouldn't make assumptions before we have all the information.
All right.
Una said with a dip of her head.
I will follow your lead, Alex. I don't understand why you get so jittery when I bring it up, though.
One thing at a time. I just accepted I am the dreamer, after all. I still don't know what that means either, but we will figure it out together.
But we will save my father and the potion maker, right?
Una asked with an earnest expression in her purple eyes.
You haven't changed your mind?
No, Una. I made a promise. We will save your dad and anyone else captured by the Clover Queen. Una opened her mouth to respond, but before she could, a buzzing sound zipped past my ear, and a large shadow swept past my peripheral vision. I spun around, and my mouth fell open when I saw the gigantic, leathery, winged, yellow-black insect. It was the size of a football, and even from a distance, the 4-inch stinger was easy to spot. I saw countless eyes peering out of its head as the bug zoomed past me. And then it spiraled into the sky, but it moved faster than I could track, so I lost it an instant later. Was that? I asked as I turned to Una.
A bat bee! Be careful, Alex, the stingers are very painful.
Oh, I can imagine. I swallowed hard as I considered the literal dagger at the tail end of the insect. I'll be careful, I promise. I can make promises all day, but there wasn't much I'd be able to do against a bug of that size, and a shudder swept through my body.
We have to get its wings somehow,
Una reminded me, but I was already brainstorming ways of catching the flying football dagger. I wished I had a net with me, but we didn't have time to craft one out of the rope I'd brought. I scanned the field of tulips through narrowed eyes, but I couldn't see the bat bee anywhere. Then I heard a distant buzzing, and I turned in the direction of the sound to see a swarm of the striped insects flying toward us. They zoomed past in a blur of motion, but with so many so close together, they formed a cloud in the sky that was much easier to follow through the air. They were fast as fuck. I watched the bat bees hover over the multitude of tulips while the neon green moon rose higher in the sky, and the light of the celestial orb turned the rainbow sky into some trippy swirls of color. Then the bugs zipped from bloom to bloom, and the pollen glowed iridescent beneath the lunar light. "Let's go!" I shouted before I dashed toward the horde of bat bees, and I aimed for one paused above a tulip less than 20 paces away from me.
"Woohoo!"
Una cheered as she chased behind me, and she hopped nimbly over flowers as she crossed the distance to a bat bee. We ran as fast as we could toward the possibly murderous horde of insects, and the buzzing in my ears drowned out all other sounds. I jumped at the bat bee closest to me, and I crashed down into the dirt, but I came up empty-handed. Una lunged into the air after another insect, and she landed gracefully on all fours, but she didn't manage to snag one of the fast-flying creatures.
Whew, this is tough. They're too fast.
Una gave me a small smile.
I'm sorry I could not catch one either. They are incredibly fast.
Oh, fuck. How are we supposed to catch something like that?
Don't forget,
Una said as her face brightened, and she tapped me on the shoulder where the shoulder strap for my pack rested.
We brought a few potions with us to help on our quest. You're the dreamer, so it won't hurt you to drink some.
Oh, yeah.
I slung the bag off my shoulder, and I opened the flap at the top to dig inside. Una peered over my shoulder curiously, and a moment later, I removed the red, sparkling potion labeled Fast, and popped the cork off the top.
Ah, here goes nothing.
I was grateful some of the potions with labels were useful, but the mouse doctor had rifled through the entire selection, and she only found a handful with words written on them. Of the handful labeled, only a few had badass effects like fast or big. Still, I had what I needed to get the job done.
I believe in you, Alex,
Una said in an earnest tone.
You're the dreamer. Anything you imagine is possible in all the land. You can do this.
Thank you for the vote of confidence, I said with a dip of my head, and then I tipped the bottle up to allow the contents to slide between my lips. I swallowed down a swig of the elixir, and then I shook my head to dispel the residual tangy taste on my tongue. A shiver ran down my spine, and a tingling sensation bubbled in my gut, but I let out a loud burp before I replaced the cork in the bottle's opening. I placed the half-full potion gently back among my other supplies, and then I slung the pack over my shoulder once more.
How do you feel?
Una asked with raised eyebrows.
Are you feeling fast?
I think it needs a second to start working, I said with a shake of my head. But suddenly, the motion sped up until I was whipping my head back and forth faster than light.
Yes, it's working.
A shit-eating grin spread across my face as I took off running through the field of tulips, and the wind stung my face as I dashed around at the speed of light. I circled the field twice in as many breaths, and then I skidded to a halt beside the stunned cat girl, which left deep rivulets in the dirt from where I slid.
I couldn't even see you! You're moving so fast!
I suppose that's what a fast potion should do, I teased with a wink, but then I took off running again. The feeling of the ground moving beneath my feet at blinding speed was so exhilarating I didn't want to stop. But after a few more circuits of the field beneath the neon moon, I reminded myself of the mission we were here to accomplish. Then I turned back to the horde of bat bees, and to my utter amazement, they appeared to float through the air in slow motion. I could easily make out the details on their segmented bodies, and their antennae quivered nervously as I ran in circles closer and closer to them. The countless eyes blinked up at me as the insects hovered above the multicolored petals of the tulips, but none of them made a move to attack me. It was time to complete the mission, so I targeted one of the bat bees that appeared to move even slower than the rest, and I dashed toward it at lightning speed. The bat bee buzzed loudly and darted away from me, but it was a simple matter to catch up to it, and I plucked it from the air with a broad grin stretched across my face. Ah, potions were fucking awesome! I held the bat bee proudly over my head as I trotted back to where Una stood staring in amazement at my blinding speed, but the instant I slowed down, the wings of the insect flitted so quickly that it nearly lifted me into the air. I held on to either side of its middle segment firmly, and I brought the struggling bug down from the air to present to Una.
"Your bat bee, darling," I announced with the grin still plastered on my face. My hair was jutting out at wild angles from being blown in the breeze, and my face felt flushed from the stinging force of the wind, but I didn't give a shit. I was high on the adrenaline rush, and nothing could ruin my happiness.
Oh, Alex, that was amazing!
Una gushed as she clapped her hands with delight.
You made it look so simple and easy.
All right. Let's get these wings off already. Una nodded decisively, and then she reached out and grasped one of the large, leathery, flapping appendages with one hand while she pressed into the center of the bug's back with the other. Then she yanked backward on the wing, and the buzzing sound intensified as the insect wiggled furiously in my grip.
Hold it tightly!
The cat girl stuck her tongue out of the corner of her mouth as she narrowed her eyes in concentration.
I've almost got it!
Una yanked again, a little harder this time, and a wet squelch echoed through the air between us as the wing separated from the body of the bat bee. The insect buzzed so loudly it became a high-pitched scream, and its stinger wiggled all about in search of something to stab.
Do we need both of them?
I asked as I struggled to maintain a grip on the angry bat bee.
It says wings,
Una said with a nod.
Not wing, so I assume we do.
Fine, just be quick about it. It's really pissed.
The poor thing will die without its wings,
Una pointed out as she stuck the removed wing into her hip pouch.
I wish there was another way, but we must.
Then the cat girl gripped the remaining wing tightly before she yanked it free with another wet squelch.
Got it!
Una cheered, but before we could celebrate very much, I was distracted by the thrashing of the bat bee in my grasp. The wounded bat bee buzzed and struggled with quickly increasing momentum,
and then it wiggled free from my hands to plop onto the ground. Then, to my surprise, the fucker started to wag its behind toward my feet. Una and I hopped away from the injured insect, and I withdrew my sword again so I could slice it up. It only took me a couple of chops to end the bat bee's rebellion and put the thing out of its misery, and I swiped a hand across my sweaty forehead. Whew, that was close.
Alex, look out!
Una gasped as she pointed to something behind me.
What?
I asked, but I spun around to see the entire horde of bat bees swarming toward us. One bat bee was smaller but faster than the others, and it led the horde as it buzzed in fury. Then the lead bat bee suddenly swerved in my beloved catgirl's direction, and there was no way she would be able to get away from it quickly enough on her own. Fuck.
Una, move!
I shouted as I shoved her behind me and put myself between her and the irate insect. The bat bee hissed and buzzed as it aimed its stinger at my head, but I ducked out of the way at the last second, hauled up my sword, and sliced the killer bug in half. The two pieces of the bat bee collapsed to the ground in a spray of bodily goo, but I didn't have time to care because the rest of the swarm was closing in. The other bat bees must have heard the dying screams of the wingless insect, and now they were all seeking revenge. We had to get out of there, and fast. Fortunately, I could manage that.
Una, climb on my back!
I ordered as I gripped my sword tightly in one hand.
I'm gonna get us out of here!
All right!
The cat girl replied as she scrambled over my pack to cling to my shoulders. Once my cargo was secure, I took off at a blinding speed across the field of tulips in the opposite direction of the angry horde of bat bees, but then the sound of buzzing wings intensified behind me. I glanced over my shoulder, but I could barely see the swarm around Una's hair, so I refocused on getting us far away from the field of tulips. The bat bees suddenly buzzed all around me, but I couldn't go any faster with so much weight on my back, and I dodged bug after bug as I ran.
Watch out!
Una screamed in my ear as a bat bee flew dangerously close. I veered to the right to avoid the wiggling stinger, and then I aimed for the cover of the trees. Maybe if I put enough distance between us, the bugs would resume their pollination of the tulips and leave us alone. I ran and ran until sweat began to drip into my eyes, and I could feel the speed beginning to wear off. But the bat bees began to swarm around me like they were throwing their lives on the line. I gripped Una beneath her hips with my left arm as I swung my sword with my right, and I smacked away the insects like a baseball player hitting a ball. One bug I struck careened out of the air with a high-pitched buzz, and then the others seemed to get the hint. I wasn't fucking around. The bat bees began to fall back as I reached the tree line, and I started to slow down once I realized we were in the clear.
Oh, phew! That was a close one!
Una giggled with nervous energy as she slid from my back.
Oh, I know!
I chuckled, and I lifted my hand to rake my fingers through my sticky, sweaty hair.
Alex!
Una's eyes widened to the size of saucers, and she lifted a shaking finger to point at my hand.
What?
I glanced down at my arm, but my eyebrows shot into my hairline when I realized what had caused her such alarm. The stinger of the bat bee protruded from my arm like a splinter the size of a pencil, and as my adrenaline faded, pain radiated up my appendage. My hand was already beginning to swell up, and I cursed as I tossed the bat bee to the ground.
Oh, shit!
I hissed as I stared at the long, pointy stick that had been released from the giant insect's ass.
Here,
Una said in a worried tone.
We must remove the stinger.
The cat girl placed a gentle hand over mine that held onto my wrist, and then she gripped the end of the stinger with her other hand. She met my gaze with an apologetic smile, but then she ripped it out in one swift motion. I hissed, but even though the pain was pretty bad, I didn't cry out.
Alex,
Una said in an anxious voice.
We have to get you back to Havenwood. Now.
My hand was swelling more and more with each passing moment, so I had to agree with her. We needed to do something, and fast.
Right behind you,
I said with a firm nod. I gritted my teeth against the pain raging through my system, and then I followed the cat girl away from the field of tulips. Dr. Kriya would have a way to heal the sting. I was sure of it. She had to.